I hope you're doing well these days. I know it's not easy. But when in the Bible did anything great ever seem easy? You know, God's people have always been challenged. And sometimes they have gone through storms like we're going through right now. And so let's pray for each other and encourage each other. Pierce Church is doing everything we can to be helpful and encouraging with our online services and prayer times. You know, we're serving the food pantry here in our community on Monday mornings. And so it's our prayer that God will help us to find more and better ways to share his love and hope in the middle of the COVID-19 storm. And we've talked a bit about that in the last few weeks. I wanted to go to another passage, this time from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus walks on the water, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried. They cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "let me come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Well, what a story. What a lesson in life and how to cope with the storms it inevitably brings our way. Here's Jesus and his followers on the Sea of Galilee. Nancy and I were there, actually, quite a while ago now. We were part of a large group of Free Methodist pastors and leaders that went together to the Holy Land. And we were actually in the ministry called Free Spirit, a music ministry that was along to add, you know, musical enjoyment in our experience of travel around to all the main sites of the Holy Land. And one of those was the Sea of Galilee. And we took a cruise across the sea, and then when we got to the other side, I remember, I don't know whether it was on the boat or on the shore, we had a meal of St. Peter's fish. That's what they called it. And it was served whole, like with the tail and the fins and the eyeballs and everything, which didn't go over that big with the girls in our group. But anyway, I digress. The thing I remembered being struck by was that the Sea of Galilee, you know, I read about it since I was a kid, you know, stories in the Bible. It wasn't all that big, or at least it didn't seem that to me. Later I learned it's about 13 miles long and 7.5 miles wide. But because of its relatively small dimensions and its location, it is subject to major storms. They blow down out of the Golan Heights, and in very short order, that small lake can be just crazy with wild wind and waves. And certainly Galilean fishermen, which was what several of the followers of Jesus were, they would have experienced that. They would have, you know, been out there when that stuff happened. And sure enough, they are out there again, and another storm blows up. Now, one of the first things you ask is, well, what did they do wrong, you know, to get in the middle of the storm? But you remember the very first verse, right, that we read, verse 22. Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat and sent them to the other side of the lake. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And yet there was a storm. And I don't know if you've ever had the feeling in the middle of this crazy time we're in that, you know, what did we do to deserve this? There's no hint of that in this passage. In fact, that question, the why question, you know, why is this happening to us? It doesn't help anything. The storm is here. And stressing out about the why is just not helpful. The question we should be asking is, where's Jesus in all this? Because if you read through the story, what happened was when those waves were crashing over the front of their boat, things got even worse because suddenly they looked and there was this apparition, this ghost-like figure that scared them to death. And that's why they cried out. And Jesus' response to their fearful cries is very informative and very helpful. He said, "Be of good courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." In fact, if you were to read it in the Greek, in the original words, it would be courage. I am here. Don't fear. Courage. I am here. Don't fear. Courage. You know, courage isn't not feeling any fear. Courage is not giving into it. Scripture repeatedly tells followers of Jesus that he will give us a courageous spirit, that we can have a holy boldness, not that we won't ever be afraid, but that we can overcome our fear by his help with the power of the Holy Spirit alive in us. So friends, why don't you ask God for real courage? I know some of us really need it right now. We need it with our kids and our work, our health. This is not an easy storm, but God is stronger than the storm we're in. Courage. I am here. You know, this is a little bit of a play on words, I think. Jesus, several times in the New Testament, uses this expression, I am. You know, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. It's the name of God in the Older Testament. Remember when Moses asked the Lord, "Who shall I say sent me?" And what does God say? I am. Not I was or I will be, I am. God is the eternal now. He is above and beyond all of time and space. He is the great I am. And Jesus says, I am with you. It's me. You know, when our kids were frightened in the middle of the night, for whatever reason, either Nancy or I would go into the room, and the first thing we said was, "It's okay, I'm here." We didn't debate whether there was really boogeymen under the bed or, you know, whatever their crazy dream was about. We just said, "It's okay, I'm here." That's what Jesus says to you today. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let your fear overcome you. You know, if you feed your fear, your faith will fade. But if you feed your faith, your fear will fade. So, Jesus tells his followers to take courage, that it's him, that he's with us, and that he is God. And Peter, good old Peter, to his credit, took Jesus at his word. He did the most courageous thing he could think of. You know, it's like, well, if this is Jesus and he's really here, then why not? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water. Peter thinks of the most high risk, high reward scheme of ever. He'll turn into a water walker. I don't know if I would have ever thought of that, but Peter does. Since it's Jesus, since he told me to be courageous, then why not? So Jesus would you please invite me out of my boat? I mean, maybe I don't have the faith of Peter, but, you know, when you stay scared all the time and all you want to do is be safe, life ends up getting pretty small. You know, in the faith tradition I grew up in, I never heard Peter complimented or admired for his crazy courage, you know, for this harebrained scheme. Hey, let's get out of the boat and walk on the water. No, the only thing I ever heard growing up was, that stupid Peter, he sank, you know. Well, not only did he sink, he did, but he walked on water. And if you look at the text, it says that he came to Jesus. How many steps do you think that was? I think I used to imagine that, you know, maybe like one or two steps and got wet. But as I look at that, he came toward Jesus. What is that? A dozen steps? 20 steps? Wow. Peter walked on the water because he had the courage to get out of the boat. You know, several years ago, John Ortberg wrote that great book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. Well, it's true. Now, I mean, we should probably think about what went wrong, right? What went wrong, according to the text, was that Peter started looking at the wind and the waves. He got his eyes off the Lord. Well, there's a lesson in life, isn't there? I mean, when you look at Jesus and you hear his voice, and he calls you to be courageous, and you accept the challenge, it's like anything is possible. But as soon as you get your eyes off of him, and you begin to be completely focused on how crazy this all is, how dangerous this all is, that's when you sink. So I don't know about you, but I wish I was more of a water walker than a boat sitter, even in the storm. I wish that for you too. You know, if we just stay stuck in the boat, there'd be some great prayers that never get prayed, some wonderful, compassionate ministry that never gets extended, some love and grace that we just keep to ourselves. So here's what I know. I know there's already people in Pierce Church Nation who are getting out of the boat. You know, there's women who have sewn masks for local health services. I mean, a lot of them, right? Way to go. Good for you. You didn't stay stuck in the boat. I mean, I know there's a team of people here at Pierce who are gathering up food and distributing it to people in need in our community. Good for you. You didn't stay stuck in the boat. But here's the deal. Could you call a friend and just encourage them? Check on them? Tell them you care? You know, maybe there's somebody that you have gotten a little crosswise with or had a misunderstanding with. Do you want that to keep going? Or would you be the one to get out of the boat and say to them, you know, I'm sorry that we've had this misunderstanding, and I know part of it's my fault, and I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? Can we work this out? Takes courage to get out of the boat. I mean, I could go on with a dozen different lessons. You know, we could FaceTime your family and try praying together. You know, people who are at a distance, you could get in a room with somebody you care about and just love on each other. It's not all about me and how scared I feel. It's about turning this moment into something bigger than me with the help of God. I've said it a lot lately. This could be the church's finest hour. We were made for this. We are water walking people, not boat sitting people. But we need Jesus with us, in us, alive in this very moment, giving us the courage to do whatever it is he might call each one of us to do. And it, admittedly, it's probably different for each of us. Maybe you should post a scripture on your Facebook page if you've got one. You know, do whatever it takes to feed your faith and not your fear, to starve your fear and allow yourself to become the kind of person that says yes when Jesus calls you. Read scripture. Listen to inspiring Christian music. Pray for somebody else. Have them pray for you. You know, Jesus could have stilled this storm a long time ago, but he didn't. And he hasn't. Maybe it's because he wants to do something in you and through you that you never would have done otherwise. Maybe he's got some water walking in your near future. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my friends, for all those who are part of Pierce Church Nation, this holy nation, this royal priesthood. Give us the courage to get out of the boat. And for all of our friends who might be watching this wherever they are. And Lord, we know at the center of this is you. You know, take courage. It's me. It is I. So Lord, we give you our lives again today. If there's been any doubt or any falling away or pulling back, forgive us. Thank you, Lord, that the Father was waiting with open arms when the prodigal son came home, and we come home to the Father. And we thank you that you have a ring for our finger and a robe for our back and a party with our name on it. There is no God like you. And because you first loved us, we love you back. Give us the courage we need. In Jesus' name, amen.